God has a plan. I'm sure you have heard that before. Maybe someone said it to you. It often gets spoken in circumstances that are inexplicable or tragic. God has a plan. Much of the time, though, we don't know what that plan is, or where that plan is taking us. And often that plan seems painful. In the past, I myself have been reluctant to tell suffering people God has a plan. I have not always been certain whether people would hear that as just a cliche or whether they would find it comforting. Is it just a cop-out? Or does it provide clarity? Is it trite or truthful? God has a plan. As our Lenten journey with Joseph moves closer to its culmination tonight, a theme that has emerged from the account in Genesis chapter 45 is God has a plan. And that plan is often completely hidden from us. We see, hear, and experience one terrible thing. But in, with, and under that one terrible thing, God is doing His thing, which is wonderful. The jealousy and hatred of Joseph's brothers led them to do something despicable, selling their own flesh and blood into slavery in a foreign land was pure evil. But in, with, and under those very same evil circumstances, God was at work, preparing salvation for His people and ensuring the survival of Abraham's descendants from which the Christ would one day be born. Without knowing, Joseph's brothers had been part of God's plan. Tonight's reading from Genesis tells of the reunion of those brothers never saw coming. And when it finally happens, when they hear the high-ranking Egyptian official say, "I am Joseph," and probably in their own language, they are dismayed, terrified, unable to speak because their jaws are on the floor. They no doubt expect the worst. But in one sentence, Joseph expresses how God's good plan and the evil plan of his brothers unfolded simultaneously. He said, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Joseph told his brothers, "You sold me, but God sent me." So which is it? Did Joseph's brothers sell him into slavery? Or did God send Joseph down that path? Was Joseph a victim of evil? Or was he a savior for the starving world? The most fitting answer to all those questions is yes. It's not either or. It's both and. It's indeed the wonderful, awesome plan of God. God has a plan. And tonight's readings make clear that at the heart of God's plan is forgiveness. God's plan moves forward and succeeds because of forgiveness. Joseph's treatment of his brothers is a profound lesson on the power of forgiveness. That's what forgiveness looks like. Joseph is now the most powerful man in the world, and before him are the brothers who betrayed him, down on their knees, guilty of great evil, deserving death. But what does Joseph do? Through tear-filled eyes, he forgives them. He speaks tenderly to them, comforts and kisses every last brother. Oh, and he also tells them the good news. God has a plan. But what if Joseph had not forgiven them? What if Joseph had done what comes so naturally to the sinful nature? What if Joseph had subscribed to the idea that turnabout is far play, that revenge is a dish best served cold? Or what if he had spoken forgiveness to them, but then sent them back home empty-handed to starve? What if he had imprisoned or enslaved them to make them earn their way back into his good graces? If Joseph doesn't forgive his brothers, then God's plan is put at risk. God's plan to save the whole world, including you, is jeopardized. How will Abraham's seed secure salvation if the line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah comes to a screeching halt because Joseph won't let go of the sins committed against him? If Joseph doesn't forgive, then the passion of our Lord described by St. Luke tonight might never have come to pass. The crucifixion scene sketched out by St. Luke that we read tonight is not unlike the scene of Joseph and his brothers. The most powerful man in the world, the Son of God, hangs from a Roman tool of torture, beaten and bloody, and fresh pain is felt with every new breath. As Jesus looks down and surveys the scene, his disciples have abandoned him. His father has forsaken him. He is surrounded by sinners who hate him, who mock him, who eagerly await his death. But Jesus submits himself to God's plan to save the world. He seeks not revenge of his enemies, but prays for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus sheds his blood and submits to death for all of his brothers and sisters, including you. This is what forgiveness looks like. God has a plan, and this is it. This plan of God for life and salvation had been underway since long before Joseph was born, ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, brought sin and its wages into the world. God's plan in Christ was hidden. God's good plan was obscured by the evil plans of men like Pilate and Herod, the scribes and Pharisees, and all who wanted Jesus out of their way. But make no mistake, our sin Our sin was the driving force behind the nails. Our sin was the reason for the crucifixion. Still, in, with, and under this terrible thing, God was doing His thing, which is wonderful. As St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's the best news you will ever hear. It means we don't get what we deserve. Like Joseph's brothers, with their guilty conscience and their jaws on the floor, we don't get what we have coming because of our sin. Our brother Jesus forgives us. He speaks tenderly to us through the preaching and proclamation of His promises. He comforts us with the cup of salvation. Our beloved brother comes among us in flesh and blood to serve us and save us. Flowing from this grand plan of salvation is God's plan for you. Yes, God has a plan for your life. Your life is not a random series of events, actions and reactions, causes and effects that in the end are mostly meaningless. Far from it. Your baptism declares that God is determined to have His way with you. And His way is always good. Always good. We who have been forgiven understand that God's plan also always involves our forgiveness of others. A refusal on our part to forgive those who sin against us? Well, that hinders God's plan. We get in the way and put at risk God's work when we do not forgive as we have been forgiven. Better by far to let go of our neighbor's sin and forgive, so that God can do His wonderful work and His plan can proceed. It's not trite, but truthful. Not a cliche, but a comfort. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. A plan that centers your life in the life of your Savior. The trials and tribulations of Joseph remind you not to worry when brothers betray you or when temptation comes calling. When it seems as if much of your life is wasted and worthless, remember Joseph and his years in prison. We cannot know and we cannot see what God is doing or what He is planning. We can only believe, we can only trust that He is working all things for our eternal good. Through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is everything. It is everything. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.